William Miller began sharing what he had learned from the scripture, our minds have been fixed on the Lord's return. And that's why we came to be called Adventists, and we still are today. In our home church up in Vancouver, we're starting a prophecy seminar tonight. And I expect Brian McMahon will be talking tonight about the prophecy of Daniel 2 and about the Lord setting up his kingdom. And within a few nights, we'll probably be talking about the signs of Jesus' return. And then we'll be talking about the manner of Jesus' return, how he'll be coming in a cloud and every eye will see him. Jesus gave us the signs of his return. And right in the middle of these signs, there are these two little stories that we read this morning in the scriptures about Noah and about Lot. And they're both cited by Jesus as examples of what would be happening before and when he returned. So I'd like to look at those two stories. When you read those stories, you wonder, first of all, why did Jesus tell both stories? There are lots of similarities. Look at some of the similarities in these two stories. Lot and Noah both lived in a time when there was a lot of evil around them. We read that, Jesus didn't mention that, but we read about that. That was a common denominator of these stories. Another common thing is that there is a destruction coming. Lot's environment was destroyed by fire and brimstone. After that, the world in Noah's day was destroyed by a flood. And we're looking forward to, of course, our world being destroyed by the seven last plagues and Jesus' return and then by fire. Another common element is that these two patriarchs both escaped from the destruction. There are some differences as well, and perhaps that's why Jesus mentioned both stories. Think about Noah and his period of preparation. Noah, we read, was laboring and preaching for 120 years. Lot just found out the night before. Lot went around to his family to try to get his family to leave Sodom and with him. And the Bible says that they mocked him. Noah, on the other hand, his entire family was saved with him in the ark. And what about their belongings? Lot lost everything in Sodom and Gomorrah. The book Patriarchs and Prophets points out that Noah invested everything he owned in building the ark. So you could say that he didn't lose anything. Perhaps Jesus mentioned these two stories as an illustration of the fact that we can choose. And if I can choose which way I wanted to be saved, and I can, I would choose to be saved like Noah was rather than like Lot was. Lot barely escaped. The angel had to take him by the hand and practically tow him out of the city. So in order to be saved like Noah, what do we need to do? What needs to be different? I've identified two things that Noah needed in order to be saved the way he was, and perhaps to be saved at all. First of all, we read in Hebrews 11, verse 7, that we start out by faith, Noah. So Noah had to have faith, and it probably was not easy to have faith in Noah's day. The scientists all were saying that it had never rained, that it was not a possibility of rain, that it was physically impossible. There had never been rain, there had never been a flood. Have you noticed that when they build ships, now they locate the shipyards almost always someplace near the ocean, or perhaps near a lake if it's a big lake. But nobody heard of building a ship just on dry land someplace, and that's what Noah was doing. So it really required a lot of faith on Noah's part, and would have required a lot of faith for anybody that got on the ark. And you have to wonder sometimes, why did God make it so hard for the people to have faith? Well, there's something that's around us all the time now. It's called COVID-19. And that's probably an illustration of the fact of how things can be so contagious. And sin is contagious. And I can imagine that God didn't want unconverted people to decide to get on the ark just because they thought it sounded nice to have a cruise. Or just a interesting entertainment for a little while. God wanted the people to have faith to get on the ark. And I think that's true in our day, too. The scientists are saying that creation is not true, that the world came into being by evolution or by the Big Bang. And we just have to have faith to believe. We have to exercise our faith as well. Jesus pointed out that in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot, that people were eating and drinking, and marrying and planting crops and all those things that are good. But they're things that everybody did all the time. They were oblivious to the fact that things were different. If we believe that Jesus is coming soon, we'll live differently than if we didn't believe. There's something else that Noah had to do, and it's found in the same verse, Hebrews 11:7, said, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. So Noah had to build an ark. And do we need to build something? Yes, we do. And it's mentioned in the book Jude, verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. And Jude is talking about people that are preparing to escape from the corruption of the world around them. So we have to build ourselves. And I think that is fairly obvious. That doesn't mean bodybuilding or getting lots of exercise or lots of good food, although those things are important. But we're talking about building character. And God talks about building character. There's an interesting story in the Old Testament that's relevant. That is the story of the building of the temple. And our body, the Bible points out, is a temple also, the temple of the Holy Spirit. So when Solomon built the temple, they quarried the rock from a place somewhat distant. And those rocks were all safe and prepared for the specific place that that rock was going to be to install in the foundation of the temple. And then they were moved to the site, so there was no preparation of those blocks at the temple site. They were already designed, already fitted to fit perfectly into place. And that's a little bit of an illustration about our building our characters. Our characters have to be built before we go to heaven, not afterwards. And Jesus illustrates that. Jesus gives us the power to do that, too. There's an interesting comparison. If you read the story in Genesis of Noah and building the ark, you see that God gave Noah quite a long list of specifications. And if you read those, you think, well, God was really specific. So if you read them more closely, and if you count them right, you'll discover that God gave 10 specifications. And that doesn't mean anything except that Doug Baxter makes comparisons of numbers all the time. And so it's interesting to note that God gave 10 specifications for the ark. And in fact, he gave us 10 specifications for building our character as well. And we'll recognize the number 10 as being found in the Ten Commandments. And Paul says that the Ten Commandments are a transcript of his character, and therefore a transcript of the character that we need to build to prepare ourselves to be saved from the destruction of their will. So Noah had faith, and Noah built an ark. And there's one other thing that Noah needed, and we read in Genesis also the story of the flood that Noah built on the ark. Noah had 120 years to prepare the ark and to preach. 120 years is a long time. You know, sometimes I get impatient when I turn on the hot water in the bathroom faucet and it takes a long time for the hot water to come from the water heater. Or when you turn on the computer and for some reason it takes a long time to do that. Or it says that it's updating and you want it to use it immediately. But Noah had a method and a job for 120 years until he had to have patience. Some people are excited when they hear the gospel and they want to proclaim it, but they're not interested in building character. Other people have put themselves away in monasteries and spent years and years developing their character, but never sharing the message. Noah did both. He preached and he built. We need to do both too as we prepare for Christ's return. There's another interesting fact about patience. And that is that Noah was not the first one to preach about the flood. The first one was Enoch. And he points out that Enoch preached about the coming destruction. And commentators myself, and in fact, Ellen White confirms in Patriarchs and Prophets that God told Enoch about the coming flood. And if Enoch shared the message of the coming flood years earlier than Noah. In fact, Enoch left a little clue when he named his son. The Bible says that after Enoch had his son, that he walked with God. And so the implication is that perhaps that was about the time that God gave Enoch the information about the flood, because Enoch named his son Methuselah. And I've been reading in commentaries about that name, and there's some differences of opinion that a lot of commentators believe that his name means, when he dies, it will come. Or when he dies, his question will come, or something like that. And so Enoch gave a little message in the name of his son, Methuselah, about the coming flood, the coming destruction. And then, as you look down Methuselah's life, you'll see from the chronology that Methuselah died the year of the flood. In fact, Methuselah's son Lamech also died the year of the flood. And some of us thought, well, maybe they died in the flood. That seems doubtful, since they were both part of the godly line and both were worshippers of God and probably believers and probably priests along with Noah. But another interesting thing about Methuselah, and the thing that everyone knows, is that Methuselah has the longest life of anyone that ever lived on this earth. 969 years, I believe. When you put those two facts together, that Methuselah's name means when he dies, it will come, and the fact that he lived longer than anyone else has ever lived, just points out the long suffering and the patience of God. That God's not willing for anyone to perish, but that everyone would learn and everyone would accept and everyone would be saved. I believe that we're living in the last days, and I think we all do. Jesus could have come before, but Jesus is patiently waiting for others that might accept and might be saved. There are people for whom God is waiting. Maybe some of us here, maybe God's waiting for us. If there's anything holding us back, we need to give it up and commit ourselves fully to God. Have faith and have patience and build our characters and share the message. Once more, we need to have faith and we need to live differently than people who do not have faith. Live differently than other people around us. I'd like to close by reading a passage from Revelation 14, verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much that you have given us such clear prophecy, such clear warning about the destruction coming at the end of the world. And that you tell us what we need to do to be prepared. And we pray that you'll do that and we'll share that message with others in Jesus' name. Amen.